for our sins. That's already been covered, okay? That's already been covered under the blood of Christ. What we will be judged, and we'll look at this in a minute, is our works for Christ, okay? We didn't work for our salvation, but we now work for Him, right? That's, you understand that. We're going to be judged at that. And as we're going to see in a minute in 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about everything will pass through the fire. You put things through the fire. And what will sustain or what will make it through the fire is the gold, silver, precious stones. Those are the things. And the great adage and the thing that we quote often is this: only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last, right? I think some of you talked about that in your Sunday school this morning, that you can't take anything with you, can you? I mean, we're not taking anything with us. And you think about this now, what are we doing? Now let's look at our future this morning, our future. Your future in Christ is very important. Your future, I hope you know where you're going. Again, I primarily speak to believers this morning, knowing this. Yesterday, we had the great opportunity to go out into the community, and we invited people to our church primarily, and trying to get the gospel. People say, why do you do that? It's a waste of time. Well, why are you doing that kind of stuff all the time? Because we believe it's very important. You know, people need to be nudged, don't they? Why don't you come to church? Yeah, I'll come to church. I'll come. They tell you that all the time. Oh, yeah, I will. Never do. Sometimes they need a little nudging, and we open the door for that. But what are we doing? We're trying to get them to think about that great day in the future. And the wonderful ability of a Christian is what? We're able to see into the future. Now, we're not weirdos, but we can see out, and we say at the moment of salvation, as I've done it so many times with people, I said, sir, do you know where you're going to go when you die? And you know what they respond? 9 times out of 10, they say, oh, I haven't thought about that. I don't want to think about that. That's morbid. I don't like thinking about that. And I say, well, sir, ma'am, whoever you are, you might want to think about it because that day is coming. None of us are going to get around it. None of us. No one who's ever walked the face of the earth has gotten around that. We know that. But you think about it. What are we doing? We're pushing them to look out into the future in that great day and say, where am I going to go? Now, for us, we look past even that day of our death day. We look at the day of judgment. And we say, if I'm going to give account of this life, then I better do what I'm supposed to do. Now, in the context of this, in Romans 14, we don't have time to read all of it, but he's talking about and talking to a local church to get them to think about what they're doing for Christ. We cannot work for our salvation. That's what he reminded the churches there in Galatia, in the book of Galatians. You don't work for your salvation. Who hath bewitched you to get away from and go to another gospel that says you have to work for your salvation? What's he say? You now work for Christ. We look out today and we think about our future. Now, as we stand before Christ one day, we'll give account for our lives. And we will look out and he will come to us and say, now, what did you do with this book? What will you do? Book of Revelation is a great book. And there's a lot of people today reading the book of Revelation because of what's happening in the Middle East, aren't they? They're studying it. And a lot of people are confused and misled and they're misreading the scriptures, don't know how to apply it. But you think about in the book of Revelation, it says that after God handles all his business, he's going to judge. And those that are unsaved, they will come to another judgment. That's not our judgment as saved believers. We've already been through it. There's another judgment. And that judgment is a judgment of a horrific, horrific time. And again, we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to preach about it too much. But in that great day, he will say to untold millions of people that rejected Christ as their personal Savior, depart from me, I never knew you, into outer darkness, eternally separated in a place called hell, eternally separated. Okay, again, now let's look at this morning as I want to focus in on for us as believers. Are we following? Are we walking? And Paul goes on to talk about this. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, because I want you to see this with me. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, if you don't mind. Verse 10, we'll start. Notice what he says, according to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. The integrity, the legitimacy of it. For the day, notice, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But notice, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, what Paul is talking about, again, he's not talking about that they will suffer loss by way of being eternally damned, the damnation. He's talking to saved people. He's talking about our works. And he says there's coming a day when there will be a fire. Now, there's given this analogy, if you will, by Paul, to get a good view of what's taking place. And if you will follow this word picture, it's very fascinating to look at. There's a fire, and we will be given a tray. You put all of your works on that tray. And this is not biblical. I'm using an imagination here. And you push that tray over the fire, and that wood, hay, and stubble is immediately burned. Gold, silver, and precious stones are still, they abide the fire. They survive it. And you know what he's talking about. Those things, the time that we wasted, the money wasted on materialism, the time wasted on a hobby or enjoyable thing, all that we did that was wood, hay, and stubble. Now follow this, very interesting, don't miss this. Paul does not mince words. Wood, hay, and stubble are things that grow above the ground, aren't they? I like that. Where do you find gold, silver, precious stones? Under the soil, underground. And the great picture here is that those things we do above the ground where everyone sees what we do, all the things that don't matter much, do they? It's what's in here. It's what's going on in here. It's those things that are spiritual, that are invisible, that you don't always see it. And I love to study the Bible, but one thing I've been looking at recently is the people in the Bible that have no name. Have you ever studied that? No name people. They have no name. They were never given a name. They did great exploits for God, and they did all these things for God, but they were never given a name, were they? And I'll tell you this right now. In heaven, when we get to that judgment, I'm telling you, there's be a great big preachers, big evangelical pastors and preachers that are well known that are going to be at the back of the line, and at the front of the line is going to be a little old nursery worker. Isn't that true? Some of you dear precious people that come and clean this church and mow our weeds and take care of the maintenance of this church, I'm telling you, you'll be in the front of the line and you'll get the rewards, because when you put your stuff on that tray and pass it over the fire, it'll sustain. That wood, that fluff, that stuff. Pastor Tim stands up here and he talks a lot. Does a lot of, wood, hay, and stubble. I'm telling you today, think about that. That's the stuff underground. That's the stuff that nobody sees. That's the stuff that's there. And my friend, I want to encourage you with this today. You look out into the future. You look to your future and you think about now, nobody sees what I do. Nobody ever watches. Nobody ever pats me on the back for what I do for Christ. Don't you worry about what people think about you. You worry about what God thinks. And you keep your eyes on Christ and you keep moving for Him and you keep pushing forward for Christ. Oh, my friends, you think about so many over the world throughout history that have stood for Christ and never given a name. Never given. Nobody sees what you do. Nobody sees your prayers. Nobody sees how you spend time with Christ in private time there alone and work tirelessly. Some of you mothers get up early just to pray for your kids and your kids never even notice it. You fathers get up and you pray and you go to work day after day, week after week. Nobody cares. They don't know that. They don't know the temptations you have at work, that you could have run off with that woman, but you didn't. You could have done those things, but you didn't. You could have whatever, but you didn't, right? Why? Nobody sees that. And you don't get home and everyone pats you on the back and says, boy, thanks, Dad. Thanks for staying true and honest. They don't come and say, thanks, Mama, for all you do. The sleepless nights that you stay up and you can't sleep and your eyes pop open if you're like me at 2 o'clock and you're hoping that it's like 7 or 8, right? Just let it be. No, it's not. You don't know that. They don't know all of that. What I'm saying again is coming back to, what are you putting there over the fire? Remember that, friends. So many people, the pomp and the pride that's out there, they say, the wood, hay, and stubble. I want to tell you something. They may not see it today, but there's a fire coming soon to a city near you. There's a fire. And that stuff burns up so quick. It burns up so quick. Paul says, listen, if your work abides, ye shall receive a reward. And I'm saying this today. I know it's going to be a great day in heaven. It's going to be a joyous time when we get around Christ. We know that. We're going to be around all of God's people. And we're going to get to spend time and we'll get to meet Moses and Abraham. We'll get to meet D.L. Moody. We'll get to meet Spurgeon. We'll get to meet some of these real good people and we'll enjoy that time. But I'm telling you, it's going to be a very hard time, because when that fire burns up what we thought was good and it wasn't. We thought was good and it was no good. It was wood, hay, and stubble. There'll be tears. It'll be tragedy. We'll be so heartbroken. And there will be rewards given out. We thought we'd receive rewards, but we won't. You think about this. He says, take heed how you build. Now, a couple things here, and we'll move on. But notice the personal responsibility. As we said a couple weeks ago about my past, there's a personal responsibility with it. But here we have a personal. He says, you will be building. You're the builder. Verse 10, you're the builder. You're building. You're putting forth the effort. God did not call us today, and you know this, to sit, sulk, and sour. We become stagnant and stale. That's not what he's called us to do. He's called us to what? To work. He says, abide. He says, occupy till I come. That word occupy today has been twisted. They use the word occupy. You've seen in some of the big cities, the occupy movement. It's where they go and they sleep on the streets. It means they sit and do nothing. That's not what the word means. The word occupy means what? Be busy. Be busy for God. Those apostles stood there as they watched Jesus ascend up after his resurrection, and he'd just given the Great Commission. And they're staring up into the clouds, and they're wondering what to do next. And the angel says what to them? Why stand ye here gazing up? They say, well, what do you mean? We just saw Jesus ascend. So get busy. Get busy. Do what he just told you to do. When will he come back? The Lord says what? That's not for you to know. That's not for you to know. You stay busy. You keep on going. You stay focused on those things. But anyways, the personal responsibility. Take responsibility today for your walk with God, for your faith in God, and for your maturity in God. I said it before, but nobody's going to walk with God for you. Nobody's going to be pure for you. Those are personal responsibilities. Nobody's going to do it. In a world of handouts, and our society today, our generation today wants handout after handout. They want it all. Don't want to work for it. No, you and I know this called as Christians. We take personal responsibility. This is what many of the saints, almost all of the saints throughout the Bible did. And they stood up and said in their generation, I'm going to go ahead and take the lead in this. There's a little Jewish girl that was a nobody in the backside of nowhere. And yet her family or her whole culture, her whole generation was about to be annihilated, or what's called genocide. And that little girl stood up in the most difficult time. And she went into the king and she told her people, now listen, I'm going to go into the king tomorrow. They said, you can't enter the courtroom there like that, unannounced, uninvited. The law is that if you enter into that, he'll have to have you executed. So she came to her people the night before and said, hey, would you pray for me? They said, sure. What are you going to do? She said, I'm going to go into the king and plead for our people. And then she says this, the most famous quote in really one of the most famous quotes in all of the Old Testament. What? If I perish, I perish. That little Jewish girl. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to go in and take personal responsibility. Oh, the weight of an entire generation put on your shoulders. You don't need to bear that. Yes, you do. You and I stand for Christ wherever we are, in our workplace, in our home. And we say, I'll take the responsibility. Why? Because one day I'm coming to the point where I'm going to have to put all that stuff on a tray and put it over the fire. And we'll see what lasts. We'll see what sustained. We'll see what'll keep going. He says there's no foundation laid that is Christ Jesus, which is Christ Jesus. And we think about it now. It'll be made manifest. Our world today lives in such a secrecy, doesn't it? Everything's hidden, made manifest. A lot of foolish people post everything on social media. I mean, don't tell us everything. You know, I want to tell some people, don't tell us everything. Okay, I was counseling some dear people one time several years ago, and they just spilled the beans, boy. And I said, you don't got to tell me all of it. Okay, I don't need every detail. Just give me the gist of it. But that's how it is, isn't it? They everything. And the Bible says, now listen, there ain't going to be nothing hid. Nothing. He says, it will be made manifest, put out in the open. My friends, today I'm so glad our sins won't be judged. They're covered under the blood. But what did we do for Christ? What are you doing for Christ? I try every day to try and make money. I try every day to provide and take care of the family, and I don't do a very good job. I try every day to be who I'm supposed to be according to the scripture, and I don't do a very good job, and all of us would agree with that. We know that. But you and I must focus in on, what am I doing for Christ? Oh God, push those wood, hay, and stubble and that stuff off of the tray and help me to put more gold, silver, precious stones, those things that are deep down in the soil, the things that are deep down that people need. Oh friends, we know that. We know it to be true. Throughout scripture, we know this. We look out into the future As you look out, you think about. Now, some of us are in different stages of life. Some of you are in the golden years. Some of us in the middle. Others of our younger people, they're just starting out. We look out and think about now, that day's coming. That day's coming. Where am I at today? Where are we at with it? I think about the great man of the Old Testament. Moses came and he had such great life, didn't he? He was taken from a horrific situation and he, through a miraculous event, he was saved from the water. And Pharaoh's daughter said, I'll call him Moses because I drew him up out of the water. By the way, you got to study water in the Bible. Very fascinating. Water is always around. And water is very, very interesting. But I'll draw him out. I'll call him Moses, took him out of the water. Moses was put in the highest of education. He was in the greatest schools on planet Earth. He became a great ruler in Pharaoh's court in Egypt. And he came and he retired and he got away. He made some mistakes. He ran out into the desert. He found a pretty girl out there and he got married to her, had a couple boys. He was leading. He was the manager of the company. He had everything. He was just getting ready to retire and the burning bush came, didn't it? And he said, no. And he said, I will now turn. See, there's a crisis moment in every person's life when they have to either turn or burn. Right? That's not a very good thing, but they turn or they go their own way, don't they? And God's done that in most of your lives today. There's a moment came in your life where you said, I will now turn and see what this is. It was a personal responsibility. And through that, because of that, Moses went on and lived the rest of his life. By the way, the rest of his life was a very hard life, difficult. It was pain. It was drama. It was constant arguing with people. It was pleading with God to not destroy the people when he could have just stayed in the backside of the desert and been fine. Right? He could have just stayed on the backside of the dirt and just had his retirement. And I want to say thank you to some of you older folks in here, by the way. You have said, instead of just sitting back and just enjoying the last of these, whatever you have, enjoying the golden years, praise God for you, you said, I'm going to go ahead and shift gears and get it out of neutral and spin those tires and do something for God. I'm going to keep doing something for Christ. I'm going to keep going for Christ. Why? Because only one life will soon be passed and only what's done for Christ will last. And that's true. We could go throughout Scripture this morning and look at all of the characters throughout the Bible. And Jesus looked out on that lake one day and he saw those boys toiling and sweat on their brow. And he said, hey, fellas, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they dropped their nets. And John and James' father looked at him and said, what are you doing? We're going to go follow Jesus. How much does he pay? Oh, he don't pay. Where are you going to eat? I don't know. You know, there's something about following God. It's adventurous, isn't it? I mean, it's a thrill. I mean, it's crazy too, man. You don't know what's happening next. You ever worked in a nursing home ministry? Oh, that's a thrill. Now, I've had the privilege to work in the nursing home ministry, and I worked with the kids. I taught the Sunday school and the junior church kids for about 10 years. And I don't know which one is better. And we were doing the nursing home ministry right over here in Edgewood for a few years before they kind of kicked us out due to COVID and stuff. And we had a dear lady, she would come in, they'd wheel her in every time. It was on a Thursday morning, we'd go in there. And they'd wheel her in, sit her in the front row, and she had a little baby doll. And she said, this is my baby. This is my baby. We had another fellow coming over here, and he would sit there, and he'd just stare at us, and he'd drool the whole time. And I talked to him, I said, do you know the Lord Jesus? And they just stared at me, and they nodded their head. Now, I hope they do. I hope they do. There's something special about that, isn't it? You think about that. Those people don't have any ability or time left to do something for Christ. They don't have any more time to do what they've been called to do. I don't know. We're all coming to that end. But I want to encourage you today, while you still have breath in your lungs and you're still able to walk and you still have a right mind within you, that you can do something for God. May we do more for Him. Oh, Paul says, I wanted to help you. Now, notice, if you will, chapter 3, verse 1. And let's go through this and then we'll wrap it up here. Chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, notice what he says, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes or babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. One thing that ought to stick out to you as you read that, he says, I gave you opportunity, and you have every tool you need to mature. And then he says this, neither are you yet. Means you're still living in immaturity. You've taken what I've told you and you've put it aside. I've tried to encourage you to feed on the meat and mature, but neither yet now are ye able. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. You're still carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? He goes on to talk about how they took sides and all of those other things and understanding it. Verse 9, if you will, jump down there. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God is working every day in your life, every day, to build you up. If you will allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to do His work within you, you will be amazed at what will happen. Isn't that true? Where He'll take you, what He'll do with your marriage, what He'll do with your kids, how He'll help you in your maturity. It's amazing. But the problem is you and I do not allow the Holy Spirit to work. We put up blocks. We put up blockades. We put up hindrances there. And the milk is too enticing, isn't it? It's just too enticing. It's too easy. It's too good. Paul says, remember this, Christians, there's a day coming. The future, what is your future like? I want to understand and know what God wants for me to do. Faith will take you further than you ever expected. It'll take you places you never thought were possible if you trust Him. Our young people here today, some of you younger people, thank you for being here, by the way, and standing in for Christ in a very harsh world. I say this, but I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Please pray for our younger people. They live in a world that is very hard. And social media has wreaked havoc upon them. And the influences of what they teach in their schools and other things, it's just so hard, isn't it? So hard. But pray for them. But I'm very proud of our young people, many of them here, that have stood for Christ. And they've refused to be a part of what the school is doing and part of what their friends have been involved with. They stood up and said, I'm not going to do that. And as you look out across the landscape of time, you and I look at the future and say, you know what? There's something greater. And the book of Hebrews, in particular, chapter 11, the great hall of fame of faith talks about that. And again, referencing Moses, but Moses, it says of him that he looked out and he saw something. He saw the pleasures of sin for a season in Egypt. And he says, you know what? There's something better than that. There's a life to come. I've stood at the bedside. I've said this many times, but I've stood at the bedside of so many people, many, many people, that are dying. And you know what they say? If they have a right mind or they're cognizant and they're not under any kind of pain medication, they have a clear mind. You know what they say? If they're a Christian, they say, Brother Tim, I wish I could have done more. I wish I would have done more. I'm about to meet the Savior here in just very soon, very soon. They're not scared, by the way. It's amazing. Oh, it's amazing. If you've ever been there by the bedside of a dying Christian, they're excited. I get to meet the Savior soon. But the tears stream down their face and they say, Brother Tim, I wish I would have done more for Christ. More! Why, the day's coming. Oh, friends, I want to encourage you with this. What a great day's coming. All of us will stand. Philippians talks about this, and I don't have time. I must conclude here. That we will all bow the knee at Jesus Christ. There will be a sweet time. As He calls us home, we'll have what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when we get around and we have a giant fellowship of all believers. I said it before, Christians are hard to get along with, but you better start getting along with them because we're going to be together for a long time. we're going to be together around the great table. We get to ask the Lord questions and we get to fellowship and He's going to show us all around heaven, all of that. And oh, we think about that. We will have those rewards, in particular the crowns which He gives us, and we will give them back and cast them at His feet. Again, verse 14, and we'll wrap it up. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I love this somewhat of a poem, if you will, or a statement, but it's entitled, No Turning Back. No Turning Back. He says, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first. Recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith. I lean on His presence. I walk by patience. I live by prayer, and I labor by His power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few, but my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't shut up. And I won't let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He'll have no problem recognizing me. Isn't that good? When He comes for His own, it's me, Lord. He said, I know who you are. I know who you are. I want to encourage you today about that. I won't let up. I ain't quitting. And I know the heart of all of you in here is that if they were to show up this afternoon or next Sunday or whatever it is with guns drawn and tell us you need to shut this down or else, you need to give up your Bibles or else, I think all of us would stand. Nah. Why? I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I don't encourage you to lock arms with us. My friends, what's happening right now in the Middle East ought to open your eyes up because it's fulfilling the Bible, isn't it? It's fulfilling the Scriptures. And He's coming soon. And I hope you're ready. I really do. I hope you're ready. I want to say thank you to all of you here that are so faithful. Thank you. Keep coming. Keep going. Keep pushing forward. Keep coming. Keep doing all you can for Christ. And get rid of that and dust off that wood, hay, and stubble and get more of those gold, silver, precious stones put on there and get ready for that day. You don't need a name. You don't need recognition. You don't need a pat on the back. You say, Lord, I'm focused. My way is narrow. My eyes are focused on Jesus Christ. Are you there? Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for taking care of us. And Lord, as we look out into the future, we thank you. What a wonderful day it is coming that we get to spend all of eternity with you. There's a day coming for all of us when we'll take our last breath on this old earth and we'll step into the presence of the Lord into eternity. I pray you'd help us, though, as we think about so much of my time, my life, my energy has been wasted on wood, hay, and stubble. So much of it. Lord, strengthen us and help us today to concentrate on that gold, silver, and precious stones, those things that really matter for you. We love and thank you, Lord, and praise you.